Hello and welcome to this broadcast, the English language broadcast no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm Dr. Beaten Sam Mister.
Dr. Beaten Sam Mister?
Which is how an email was addressed to me earlier today.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, you are Dr. Beaten Sam Mister.
That's a very weird word order, I felt.
Yeah. It's like, it's not exactly like, but it's like when I was in school, I would always get my surname spelt in interesting ways. Never the two the same.
Of course.
So yeah, it was always interesting to see what sort of variations people would come up with. But Dr. Beaten Sam Mister, I quite like. Yes.
Finally putting that title to good use.
Yeah. It's only Wednesday, but it's been a long week for both of us.
I'm running on fumes
right
at the moment.
Well, there should hopefully be fumes of a delicious beer coming your way.
Honestly, David, I really hope so.
Well, yeah, we've got beer of the podcast. We've got two games to look back on. We've got what's the deal with one of the places, despite neither of us going. We've got beer of the podcast, as previously mentioned. We've got hot or not, and we've got some listeners' questions, which promises to be interrogatory.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't think we've run through the questions as well, so we're basically going to be reading them off the hoof, and you get whatever we come up with. So
yeah,
that'll be fun.
I had a quick look at them. I didn't write down any answers to any of them.
I liked them all, to be polite.
Right, good.
Please follow us on Twitter still, guys.
Anyway, on with the show. Teplice 1, FC Zbrojovka Brno 1.
1.
The first sentence I've written is, crap, glad I didn't go.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, like, you know, I was going to say something and I can't even muster up something to say. It was just, I just don't remember that much about the game because it's just I thought it was a thoroughly dull game as much as anything else.
It was pretty dull, yeah. Did you get around to watching it on the telly? Because it was on O2 TV live. Did you see it?
I didn't get to see it all live. I had a stream that disappeared.
Right.
And to be honest, at that point, I had sort of felt I'd seen enough.
Yeah.
As well.
I was in Udana. Thank you to the constant unquestioning bringing of beers to ease the pain of all Zbrojovka fans there present. Excellent work. I was considering going, but I'd have been the only one from our little gaggle heading up there for a Sunday 3 p.m. job. And then getting to the pub with 10 minutes to kick off in the warm, getting a beer and seeing the camera switch to the stadium where it was snowing in sort of flurries. Yes, I was glad I didn't go. Anyway, there's always any other year.
Yeah.
My notes are as follows. We dominated the first half, which I think we did. We looked like the home team, actually, but couldn't score. It was a lot of the season in microcosm, basically. Promising wide play with no final ball. Mm-hmm. And things through the middle getting to about 30 yards out and breaking down because it's just two deep banks of four from whoever, or in this case, a bank of five and a bank of four from whoever we're playing. My kind of thoughts about it were, remember last season, sort of the second half of last season when people worked out how we played and learned to sit deep. That's happening again because there is no plan B.
Yeah.
Just like last season. Earlier this season, the reason we did so well is teams didn't expect much of us, A. And B, that's when sitting back and hitting them on the counter-attack worked because they didn't really know what kind of team we were. And we had quite a large turnover in personnel and we got people who could fit that system. We got fast wide players and we got Reznicek holding it up and Shevchik, who has been the surprise package of the whole league this season. Now, as with last season, now we've hit the second half, every team we play now let us has the ball, knowing that giving our players no space to run into is the way to stop us because our technical short passing play is frankly crap. So, yeah, basically, sit deep, don't give it any space to run in behind and we're screwed, which is exactly what happened here.
It's fine in the second tier, isn't it? Because
frankly,
and I don't mean that much disrespect to all the other teams in the FNL, but, you know, a lot of the teams are so crap, you can just sort of turn up with any sort of actual system and just go on player quality alone and sort of bully your way out of the league.
Yeah, alas, we're not there anymore.
No.
Yeah. So that's not working. Anyway, to the game. Would you like one sentence?
Go on.
Teplitzer scores through Dominic Plesetil on the 53rd minute, and we get a massively lucky equaliser with a 96th minute penalty after a foul on Pachlopnik.
Yeah, this is it. So we couldn't make a breakthrough against a team that most others score against for fun.
Yeah.
A team that are in trouble.
Yes.
We shouldn't be in trouble. We have a very good goal scorer.
Yeah.
The problem is we have a creative playmaker, sort of a good goal scorer, and quite often enough, nine other lads. And if that link, you know, breaks at any point...
We're in more than trouble.
Yeah, well, this is it. And there's no preparation for the future at all at this point.
No.
It's just running with what you've got. And, you know, it was good enough at the start, so why isn't it good enough now? And that's sloppy just decision-making. It's not preparing for any eventualities.
Yeah.
And the squad is decent, and the squad is quite large, but the squad can only do one thing.
Yeah. That comes down to ownership, managerialship, and coaching, all of which we will come on to in our listeners' questions later on. Anyway, that's... I mean, you're already bored yawning, by this, yeah. So that's all I've got for Teplitzer.
Penalty was decent, by the way.
yeah. Well dispatched under 96 minute pressure, but we're gonna gloss over that because it was just something I'm glad I wasn't there for. And for the first time in a while, we've got a what's the deal with, and it's Teplitzer. So let's find out about that, shall we? So what's the deal with Teplitzer? Well, you're about to find out. It's the second largest of the towns that make up the semi-famous West Bohemian Spa Triangle.
I thought you were going to say North Bohemian Brancol Basin.
Brancol Basin, that's Ústí nad Labem, slightly to the east.
Yes.
The West Bohemian Spa Triangle, I'm going to briefly test you on this. That's it's up on the German water. The largest of the three towns being?
Karlovy Vary?
Yep. And the other one being?
I'm going to say Ash or Heb.
No.
Most?
No.
Am I missing one one?
You're going far too industrial. The other one has the name, like, spa in the name. Has the word spa in the name.
Go on.
Marianské
Lážne. Oh, Marianské Lážne. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Do I look like the sort of person that puts, you know, cucumbers on their eyes?
I mean, you could do with some right now, but...
Yeah.
Teplice, Karlovy Vary and Marianské Lážne. It was first mentioned in 1154 and was passed back and forth during the Hussite Wars and the Thirty Years' War, finally being almost completely destroyed by a fire in 1793. Happily, that was just before the great spa-going era of the sort of 19th century, you know, when all your sort of, you know, Victorian lads decided taking the waters was very good for anything that ailed you.
Of course.
So it was rebuilt in the sort of neoclassical style that you see today. And it was in the spas of Teplitzer that in August 1813, Emperor Francis I of Austria, Emperor Alexander I of Russia, and King Frederick William III of Prussia first signed the Triple Alliance against Napoleon.
Aha!
So you were scoffing there, but no, it's genuinely the site of quite an important thing.
I'll tell you why I was laughing a bit, because, and I don't know if it's because this week I've had, frankly, very little sleep, but I keep hearing it as spar rather than spa,
which is
a type of, usually a type of like mini market for a lot of purposes in the UK. So it's the idea of the great sort of spar going time. I've just got this idea of people going in for like, you know, sort of an ounce of amber leaf and some hot dogs and brine, you know, like that sort of, and it's like...
And over such delicious banquets was a treaty signed.
Yeah.
Indeed, yeah. Prussian hot dogs. They were delicious.
Prussian Preussen hot dogs.
Yeah, from the briny waters of the Baltic.
In the fifth league these days, aren't they? Preussen hot dogs.
It was one of the hotbeds, a word I like an awful lot, of the Volksdeutsche movement a few years later, obviously. And Konrad Henlein's Sudeten German Party, based there from 1933. However, since the war, very little has happened, as seen by the population growth between 1950 and today of 6,500 people.
That's crazy. I was going through that sort of that timeline in my head of stuff that has happened in places like Teplice, and all I can think of is that it's like it's home of like former good guy, actual bad guy, sex pest Dominic Ferry. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, yeah. And has increased in population by just over 6,000 in 70 years.
Come to Teplice. I did like as well. Remember when we went to Ústí nad Labem to watch the football? And actually half of Ústí, especially beside the main transport links, have posters up going like, come to watch Teplice in the first league. And it's like, wow, that takes some chutzpah.
Yeah, really struggling. I've actually written notable people number almost zero. But it was where Beethoven composed his Symphony No. 7, the Allegretto of which you can hear being played underneath this very section, which is why we're not having a band section. Not only because I forgot to do it.
But there's also no bands.
But coincidentally because I forgot to do it.
Uh-huh.
So, you get a bit of Beethoven. He was there actually in the same year that the Triple Alliance was signed against Napoleon.
Oh, really?
He was there taking the waters for his health. He had liver complaints, and he was also almost completely deaf at this time. So it was his kind of last knockings of like, maybe this will work.
How did you it must have been hard when he was properly deaf. Like, how would you ever, at those sorts of times, before these vibration devices and things, be able to wake up? How would you hear your alarm clock? Because usually you just have to roll over Beethoven. Do you remember that film with the dog called Beethoven?
Yeah.
That was good.
I never saw it, actually.
Did you not? And then there's a very bad second. I forget, there was like six of them at this point, six dogs. And they all went on an adventure or something.
Did they?
If you watch both of these films, please tweet me.
Good Lord. Yeah. Beethoven second, based on the numbering mythology of his symphonies. And I think that's where the similarity ends.
Yeah.
Dear me. Was it a St. Bernard?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It was a big lad, wasn't it?
It was one of those lads that you see in Switzerland with the brandy and the wee...
It's probably where his liver problems came from.
Yes. It's also where...
Ludwig with a little barrel of brandy around his neck.
Adrian Lewis's favourite dog as well, of course.
Yes, of course it is, yeah. dear me. All right, well, that was...
Good film.
That was the deal with Teplice. Do I do some hot or not?
Okay, I'll give you a hot right now.
Go on.
Beethoven the film.
Hot or not? They got me thinking, hot or not. They got me drinking, I'm so glad. It's time for hot or not. Lay your thoughts on me, ba-da-ba-da-ba-doo. Hot or not. They got me thinking, oh, hot or not. They got me drinking, I'm so glad. It's time for hot or not. Lay your thoughts on me.
Pass.
It was meant to be Buddy Holly.
Oh, okay. I thought it was trying to, yeah...
Hence the sort of...
Yeah, I didn't know who that was.
Oh,
the problem.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, okay. So is that... What song was that? Was that like Peggy Sue or something like that?
No. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, they all sound quite similar.
Yeah.
So it was Rave On.
Rave On.
Rave On.
Good.
Yeah. Anyway.
What's with these homies dissing my girl?
Yeah. What have they got up front?
Doodaloo. Anyway.
So violent. I don't have a knot this week.
I have a knot.
Mainly because the football has been so bad, I didn't want to bring the vibes down anymore.
Yeah,
I've just got two hots instead.
Okay, I've got a real hot or not, and then I have a sort of a local bonus hot.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right. Start with your knot, and then we'll just be happy from there on.
Yeah, okay. But this one actually, you know, I've been told that I give a lot of hot or nots that are not pertinent at all to football or Czech football.
Is this going
to
be another one?
No. So in a way of readdressing this, my not, David, is Victoria Pilsen.
Okay, for why?
Because they have basically chucked the league at this point.
Right, yes.
So Victoria Pilsen, who were, I believe, top or a point off it by the winter break, looked good. They have no wins in the last three. A draw versus Sigma and two losses, including this weekend, where I'm going to use a term, spirited performance of Bohemians, made them lose again. Which resulted in Michal Bielek offering his resignation after the match.
Yes, but I did see that. And he got shouted down by the players, didn't he, basically?
Players and upper management. They are now 5 points off the top and in third. At this point, I see them finishing third. And actually, you know, we'll get on to this. The team that I think will actually will win the league now, we're playing next.
Yeah. Yeah, Sparta have really come into it. They were... slightly shaky under Prisca when they started out, but they're really hitting their tracks, aren't they?
Yeah, so I don't know really what's happened to Pilsen. Pilsen, who actually we say started off sluggish, nowhere near as sluggish as either of the other teams. Yeah. Actually, I think did Slavia not come out and lose on match day one, for example?
Yeah, but, and then struggle to get past Radetz Kralove and yeah,
so. You know, it's tough times, I think, for Pilsen. They still have a very good squad, but they need to do something, and they need to do something fast. And to be honest, a lot of that is going to be about whether or not Slavia and Sparta drop points. Slavia will do so. Interesting match, actually, at the weekend as well against Slovan Liberec, where Slovan equalised pretty much in the last minute. Mm. So there is a propensity... Don't use that word a lot, to drop points in this league, but I think they've blown it already. 5 points, not insurmountable, but I feel maybe in this case it is.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. I've got a hot, and it is British players doing well abroad. This has been I think once before, for me, it has. A couple of years ago. But this is exemplified by Nathan Redmond having a whale of a time at Besiktas.
Mm.
He scored in their win at the weekend. They won 3-1 against somebody or other, Spore. And he scored with a run from the halfway line, ending in a 20-yard bullet of a finish into the bottom corner. It was an absolutely sensational goal. I read an interview with him, and he just seems to be having a really, really good time. Quote, "Here, it's like Friday night football every weekend. The standard is a bit different, but the game savviness, the challenges, it's all up tenfold on the Premier League. It's so much fun. It's just more connected than England, where it's maybe lost its touch a bit. And Istanbul is a city full of love. It doesn't feel like it sleeps. You get noticed everywhere you go, but people are really respectful and really kind. They really appreciate when people come here to play and give it all for their team."
That's oddly structured and coherent for a footballer. Did he say the standard is a little different or something like that?
Yeah.
That's a really nice way of saying worse.
Yeah, I think I genuinely just think he means it's different, because the standard might be lower, but the players, I think he's implying you can get away with a lot more. Uh-huh. You know, there's a lot more gamesmanship and sort of, you know, I don't like this word, but sort of shithousery.
Yeah.
And sort of people don't mind it that much. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the, you know, part of the lols of it, I think. Yeah, he just seems like he's having a really good time. And all power to him, I say.
There you go.
Yeah. Do you have an hot?
Yeah, well, actually, nicely moving on from what you were saying there, I thought that just as a quick hot would be time to play tribute as well to Mesut Ozil, who has just announced his retirement from football. You know, friend of people with dodgy views about cards and human rights, but also I think that the last couple of years of and his sort of shenanigans, etc., the whole racism scandal and stuff, puts in an unfair light his whole playing career, which included just shy of 100 caps for Germany in a World Cup.
Yes.
So,
and also one of the most magnificently early 2000s haircuts when he came through at Schalke.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Like a sort of spiky, highlighted half mullet. Just unbelievable work. Yes, okay.
So, yeah, it feels like... You know when a player's been around for so long and they retire? And I feel that that's also one of these things where you start feeling your own age a little bit as well and be like, you know, I remember this player for years and years and years now.
Yeah.
And it is sort of feels like some things are moving on somewhat.
Yeah. That's how I felt when Jeremy Goss retired.
Goss. is he not in the band Bros?
You're a very old man now.
Were they not Gosses?
They were Gosses, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt and another one.
Matt and his... I was going to say Matt and his mate. Matt and his brother.
and his bro. Here's a hot for you.
When will I be famous?
Here's a hot for you. The New York Times crossword app.
Yes. Love it when we go off piste. Go on, tell me about this.
Now, I got a paid subscription to all the NYT word games because they're great. It's like 650 crowns a year or something.
Do I look like I'm made of money?
And a year.
And
you get the daily crossword, you get the mini crossword, you get like proper Wordle, and you get a sort of spelling bee game where you have to get all the words from a like honeycomb shape. Anyway, that has kept me amused very, very happily. However, as an added bonus, after a week of having that, because I only got it a week ago yesterday, they emailed me and gave me a free subscription to The Athletic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For just getting their crossword app.
Really? God, they can barely give that stuff away.
I know. They really get, yeah.
It's up all the time on your social media, isn't it? It's just like, it's like down on your knees. It's like, Oliver Twist, please, sir, can I have some more? It's like, please, please subscribe for £1. Yeah. Please, please, please. And it's like, you know.
The thing is, I wouldn't have subscribed for £1 because I've got software on my laptop that bypasses paywalls. So I never had, so I could read all this stuff anyway. But I thought, well, you know, if they give me a free subscription, I'll get it in its proper format at least.
12-foot ladder, you know, stuff, yes. Come on, please, sir, Michael Cox has got to eat. The Athletic.
You said you had another final hot.
Yeah, again, totally unrelated to football. There's a new Italian deli called Mozzarella. And it's
just, why is that relevant?
I'll tell you why.
Because you like Italian food? Because I do.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because, go on.
Can I guess?
Go on.
Have they got all their food named after Italian footballers?
Oh, no, but it's, David, it's nothing to do with football.
Oh.
It's just sort of opened up. It's opened up. It's just off Cesca. It's on that road, the one that has Kung Fu Sushi on it as well, with the Kung Fu Panda logo. But anyway, I'll tell you what, because I saw people in my office eating a very big sandwich and I was like, boy, that's a very big sandwich. And they were like, yeah, there's this Italian deli. You should go in the boys' class. And I was like, okay. So you go into this deli and what you're greeted with is, actually, I believe he's an Egyptian fella who grew up in Italy.
Right.
He always wears a sailor's hat. He always wears a sailor's hat and he cannot help but be Italian in between things. So he'll be speaking to you in English or whatever. And he'll be like, oh, you see this bread, Bella? He just keeps dropping in Bellas and things like that. And he's like, now you will taste the real mortadella. And you can basically just tell him to make you a sandwich. And he'll make you a sandwich and it's massive and it's like 90 crowns.
Yeah.
And he'll also give you all sorts of other things. That was absolutely picked up on the microphone.
Yeah, it was.
That's my
it?
Laptop doing an update. But I'm just very into this guy because, like, I felt like he could upsell me the entire deli. So I went in for a sandwich. I went out with the sandwich, two cans of San Pellegrino and 4 cannolis. What a lad.
Good.
Did I go back the next day? Yes.
Are you going to be... Are you going to be eating that massive hoagie for the night? How can I stay mad at you? Sandwich.
It's his Wednesday, listener. I've gone for my lunch there every day this week.
Incredible. I'll have to check that out.
He's great. And I had to ask my office, and I was like, is anyone going to that Italian place? Tell me if he's not wearing a sailor's hat. He just wears it all the time. Legend.
Amazing. Right, I'm going to have to check that out.
Mozzarella.
Indeed. Mozzarella, as you said. Ella. Yablonets, coming up now. after the fun and games of that last section, we're back down to earth with a catastrophic bump as we play FK, or played FK Jablonec.
We did.
Did you enjoy that?
I enjoyed some of it. Worth mentioning, probably the first, what I would say, pleasant day conditions.
Oh, it was nice, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes, spring has finally sprung here in Central Europe. And it was lovely.
It was very nice. You didn't even need a light jacket.
No, indeed, which was silly because I brought my big coat and I just had to carry it the whole time.
Yeah.
But what happened? Well, Rusnicek hits the post early on after a slightly wobbly start by Zvorovka. There was a couple of Jablo corners in the first few minutes. And on 16 minutes, he brings a really smart save out of Jan Hanusz. You remember that? Really, sort of, you know, through... And he hits it sort of mid-height.
Yeah, and he just sort of puts his body into it, yeah.
Yeah, Hanusz kind of...
Because he's in that weird spot for a keeper, right? He's like in the sort of the middle of the box in
some ways. Yeah, and he kind of... Yeah, it's sort of mid-height. He just kind of curls himself sideways and parries it sideways. It's a good stop, actually. 5 minutes later, Shevchik scuffs the shot wide, as he does again after half an hour, as Jablonec gives the ball away cheaply in midfield. We're looking pretty good, actually. Carving out chances,
looking sprightly, knocking it pretty well around the park, all things considered.
Yeah, and on 40 minutes, Texel sort of sends a ball into the box, into Shevchik's feet, who turns, makes himself some space, dinks the ball to the far post where a stooping Musa Ali heads it trickling across the line into the far, just inside the far post to make it 1-0. That's only his second goal of the season, actually. I thought it was like his fourth. But no.
No, I mean, because what Ali does is that he is in some ways a sort of a true winger.
He's a wide boy.
Yeah, he's not the sort of guy that cuts in, takes it onto his other foot, and then takes a shot.
No.
He sometimes infuriatingly would rather play things to the byline and cut in and try and basically find that threaded ball. But it's always good to get a headed goal from the shortest player in the entire league.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we looked good value for it at that time. I thought we were creating chances. We could have, you know, had a couple on top of it.
Yeah, true. But then almost immediately after half time, a ball out wide finds Vladimir Jovovic, who pulls the ball back to that man, Jan Hromosta. He got two against us in the reverse fixture. He's an absolute pain in the arse, that man.
He is.
and he scuffs the ball home between Shurald's legs. Classic.
Yeah.
And then on 67 minutes, Jakub Povajanec jumps onto a half clearance and thumps a shot high into the net. It's a good finish,
really
actually,
nice finish.
From just outside the D. And that's... Yeah, that's sort of it, isn't it? We huff and puff. We put Tijani up top for the last 15 minutes. We send on Jan Hlavica just to be tall.
It seemed a bit strange at the time.
Yeah.
Because we put him on for Texel.
Volsek returns after his early injury at Usti, Mladá Boleslav. Yes. So that was nice to see. And he sort of carved out a couple of sort of half-decent chances for other people. Ali remained lively.
Yes.
Almost snuck a chance in at the near post. Dragged a volley agonisingly wide from a corner on the 87th minute. And I had forgotten about this until I watched the highlights, because I thought that volley from the corner was kind of it, but I'd forgotten about the 94th minute. He sent through any slightly stronger touch.
He probably goes in.
He probably would have scored. And it's just, it's one of those where he just can't get anything on it and just goes face first into the turf, Gascoigne-esque, knowing that that was it. That was fucking it, wasn't it? We just can't find a winner. Another disappointing game. Ends with a 2-1 loss.
Yeah. Feels like time for a wee shout.
Yeah.
Would you like to know my biggest problem with this game?
Are we going to do shouting now, or are we going to shout in listeners' questions? Because there are...
No, because I want to focus specifically on this game.
Okay, fair enough.
Things will bleed over, they inevitably do, because I believe there is a question about Dostalek's tactics.
Oh, yes.
I'll leave the majority of that... at the door of our listeners' questions. However, the one thing which it just perplexes me, and I feel this is probably the forum to say it in the context of this game, is that 66 minutes, I believe, we make a triple sub. I like a triple sub in this situation. Divacek, and we can have a discussion about Divacek.
You like a mozzarella sub as well.
I do indeed. Mozzarella. Off Cesca. I think Divacek's done. I don't think he's that good, and I've not really been impressed with him recently.
I mean, he was done when he started. He was, you know.
Yeah. I would get rid of him, but he's not the point, right? He goes off. I think it's worth him going off. He gets replaced by Adam Fosick. For me, it's a good sub. Fosick does incredibly well. There's another sub that I can't remember just off the cuff right now, but it also made sense. The issue to me was actually, we've talked about this, I think we even talked about this earlier, is that when we talk about creative force within the Zbrojevka side, it really, you know, a lot of it falls at the door of Mikhail Shevchuk, right? Mm-hmm. Why you took him off and then replaced him with Lukasz Rogojan, yet again, I have no understanding of why anyone thought this was a good idea.
You mentioned this at the game as well, that there always seems to be one player every 3 or 4 years that for some inexplicable reason, they seem to want to find a way to get into the side. It was Martin Ziekl before. Ziekl.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know what. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm not entirely sure this is Dostalek. I think this could easily be someone at the club or whatever. But for those who haven't maybe listened to my rant about this, the last podcast, Lukasz Rogojan, who is, you know, theoretically a number 8, he plays that number. He's a winger sometimes, it's supposed to be. He gets played as a centre forward sometimes. But the main thing about him is that he doesn't take chances, he doesn't score and barely gets a touch of the ball. So, you know, the last time he had any significant game time was the cup game at Budějovice, where for, you know, reasons beyond my comprehension, he started and then got subbed very quickly after half time because he did nothing. In this game, he did two things, and I will give him credit.
Is one of them being subbed on?
No, one of them was he got a shot off.
Mm.
And it actually produced...
It's a shot
away. The second thing that he did, and bearing in mind, he had a decent amount of time. He had about basically 25 minutes to make his mark in the game. The other thing he did was he took the ball in the promising area and ran it out for a goal kick. That's, I believe, all the touches of the ball that Lukasz Rogojan got that game.
Mm.
And the idea that we're trying to get him into some position where, you know, for him to score and, you know, become a hero or whatever, it's painful and it's now starting to cost us places in the cup and points. And when, this is something we should also add to this game, when it was a day where you actually have to put a little bit of blame on Jakub Rzeźnicek because he had several chances and couldn't convert them, you have a player that's getting chances and not scoring, and then you put on someone to try and turn a game where we need a goal, at least, who can't score at all. He has one goal against Slovan Rosica in the cup, who play in the third tier. Baffles me.
Possibly the final point on this before we go to a quick word from our sponsor is, if you are looking for a young player to fill that role of coming on and possibly changing the game, who is an attacking midfielder in a slightly Shevchuk-y role, we have the Aztec God, but they just haven't recalled him from loan. We have Kaholtek, who is exactly that sort of player.
I laugh, and, but you're right.
Yeah. Absolutely right, who is out on loan and has not been recalled because they think Rogojan is clearly the answer. He's not the answer.
Normally, as well, and I don't know if this was also part of the factor, and you said this at the time as well, that the game around that time was actually screaming out for Ondra Pachlopnik. He was injured, so he wasn't part of the squad. He would have been able to do that thing because he's a ball winner as well and be able to try and drive things forward. But I wouldn't have taken off Shevchuk. I think he was a creative force in a game that needed a bit of creativity.
Yeah.
And from then on, I wasn't surprised that we weren't able to turn it around.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be diving slightly deeper into some more issues surrounding this after we have a word from our sponsor and then, I think, a well-earned pint.
do nas svita, ve světě, kde je prima, kde uslyšíš svých přátel, kde je radost být, zázrak chutí, vůní vychutnej, tak zas příště u McDonald's.
It's a beer of the podcast. Hoi, yes. What do you think?
It looks very orange.
It is very orange. What I did was I went into Tržnica and asked them, basically I tried to describe the muffin beer we had about four seasons ago.
Oh yeah.
And said, have you got, because I couldn't remember the technical term for it.
Muffin-y.
And, well, yes, that's what I said. I said, it tasted like, I can't remember what fruit, it was from a brewery that, I can't remember the name, but it tasted a bit like muffins. And he said it was probably a pastry sour. And I said, that sounds about right. And he said, right.
And then brought me...
Yummy, 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 yummy pastry sour ale by Siberia, which I think we've had stuff before.
We've had Siberia,
but yeah,
before.
But this is from their yummy, yummy range.
It's called, what's it called again, one more time?
Yummy, yummy, yummy pastry sour ale. It's pineapple, papaya, and coconut.
Okay. Yummy, yummy, yummy. I've got beer in my tummy and I feel like loving you.
Like tumming you. Yes, it is. Per can, it's about 150 grams, so it's quite a lot. But it's like a 12, it's a 5.1% job. It might be one of those, like, you know, I haven't tasted it yet, but maybe when summer comes, it might be one of those, you know, if you have it in your fridge and it's really cold, it might be, you know, nice and fruity on a hot day. But, we'll see. It's a nice can, though, isn't it?
It's a very well-designed can.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep an open mind about papaya, because papaya... In my opinion, David, the worst of the dried fruits.
Right, okay.
So you get dried papaya quite a lot. And I used to remember, as a kid, there used to be some sort of dried fruit and seed and nut mix or whatever that used to be. I'm not a squirrel.
You might not be a squirrel, but you're fucking middle class.
That I used to have as well, Dr. Beaton Sam Minster. That is true, but also I believe that this was marketed, at least to me as a child, as being a healthy, you know, sort of alternative to other snacks. Actually realizing
that's what Rice Krispies were marketed to me as, though.
But realizing that things like dried pineapple and dried papaya are actually sugary as fuck.
Well,
you know, so
yes, but it's natural sugar, so it's good. It doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, this could be. Is this going to take me back to those halcyon days?
Well, let's find out.
See on the nose.
Ooh, very coconutty. Very coconutty.
Something tight. Yeah, this. It's very thick. Just looking it, swirling it around.
Yeah, it's collecting goop slightly at the bottom, which I'm slightly suspicious about. But
it's good.
Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Dive in.
Oh, it's so sweet.
It is really sweet, isn't it?
Oh.
Does taste a bit of cake, though.
A wee bit.
I quite like...
It tastes like multivit drink you get at Lidl.
I actually really like that. I don't mind the sweetness. Yeah, you look really shocked. I don't mind it. It is sweet. It is very sweet, and it doesn't taste like beer. But I don't mind that. I think that's a really nice summer's day drink.
It tastes like a punch.
It does.
I feel like... And this is terrible, and you can criticise all you like me on the internet for saying this, by the way. And I realise it comes across incredibly badly, but you see, if you added like a half bottle of vodka into that, I think you could probably make a punch of sorts. It needs to have fresh lime. Crying out for fresh lime. It's also it's like a chili. Needs lime.
I was going to say you've absolutely stacked up your both middle class and proper Glasgow University credentials there, haven't you?
That's awful. I mean, I'd also point out that I'm also, listener, currently drinking a can of Strongbow Dark Fruits, and yet I'm calling this as being too sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't mean it's pretty sweet.
It's sweet.
I really like it. I think that's delicious, actually.
I think I'm
a big fan of that. Maybe...
I think I need to get through one to then.
Maybe after the dark fruits. Maybe just it's a totally different type of sweetness. It might come back to you a little bit.
Yeah. I mean...
Anyway, let's...
I could drink it, you know, yeah. But...
Let's get an update after, possibly during, while, or possibly before, or after, or through listeners' questions. Coming up right now on your listening device.
It's listeners' questions.
Hooray!
Do we have a jingle?
Let me put one in here. Hey, your questions. It's your questions. Listeners' questions. It's your questions in this bit right now.
I'm glad you have.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
it's very, very low effort.
I didn't want to make one up on from the hoof.
No.
But do you think it's freedom of speech? I don't know. Anyway, I was on Elon Musk's Twitter.com, and when I wasn't cheering for a re-election of Donald Trump, I asked everyone about their thoughts, whines, positives, and jokes from the last two matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go through
them. I'm going to say it's mainly whines and thoughts.
Yes. Okay, so I will start with David Zabadal. Hello, David.
Hello, David.
Who asks about under and over performers this spring. What about trade rumours for next season? Will we keep Ali on the team?
Under and over performers?
Yes.
In spring specifically?
Yeah, I think I think what he means here is from this spring, from starting the season again. Yeah. I have two.
Go on.
Straight in my, over, I am actually going to say Kuba Chesnicek. Because I think he is overperforming in the goals and contribution
to
this team.
That's a whole season thing, but yeah. You know, having kept it up, I think counts as overperformance.
Yeah.
Yes. Are we going to keep Ali? He's going to be a hot property, I think. I think we did incredibly well to dig him up out of the Austrian second league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was in Estonia before that.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Was he like some of the more fun ones like Nume Kalju in the league?
I didn't see where he was, but he was the interviewee in the program. Notes, so it's on the website. Yeah, apparently he was in Estonia before he went to Austria. He's going to be tricky to keep hold of because I think
he's short and fast.
Well, yeah, but also because I think a lot of people will see a rough diamond that they can polish, and if we keep him for longer and we polish him ourselves, which we might not do, he might go for bigger money, but. Yeah, I mean, after losing Shevchik, because he's definitely off, if we lose him as well, then we're in serious trouble because we have no other kind of sparky forward players.
True.
Yeah.
Anyone else that you would add to this list?
I would like to have seen more from Philipp Blecher.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. I don't think he's necessarily underperforming when he's playing, but I just think he hasn't had a fair crack of the whip.
Mm-hmm.
Ditto Jan Nechas.
Yes. Yeah, I'd go with Jan Nechas because he's not getting a lot of time. Would you like me to move on?
Yep.
Shall we move on to... can I just thank Medico for creating a new character in this Borealcast universe? Where he was talking about the last match against Yablonets being a huge joke. And obviously, autocorrect has changed this to Hugh Joke. So, Hugh Joke. So, let's go on to talking about Richard Dostalek then, because this was also hinted at by...
Hi, is Joke there? First name Hugh? Hold on, I'll ask. Hugh Joke.
I'm Hugh Joke. Joke.
Hello, Bart. What can I do with you? Oh... Mr. Dostalek, I'm going to level with you.
Okay. I like the fact that we now have a manager and owner, so we now have a huge joke and a huge ass. So this is good. But this was also hinted by Matoshek73 and longtime follower Hassan on Twitter.com, who would like to hear more about Dostalek and what still keeps him as the coach.
His very close relationship with Václav Botaniek, who is the owner, is... the obvious answer to that.
Yes. His reputation within the club itself as a legend of the game.
Yes, as a playing legend. He has been assistant manager to, off the top of my head, three previous managers.
Yeah.
So he was seen as the ideal person to kind of caretake, which he did to a fairly okay standard. I would say, it's those three factors. His close relationship with Bartoniek, the fact that he was a caretaker manager who, hashtag, knows the club, and mm-hmm. then kind of fell into it by default and did okay. And for the standards of the owners of the club right now, doing okay is absolutely more than fine, which is a sad state of affairs. And also, oddly, the very insular nature of the Czech managerial merry-go-round, where there are very, very few options, and those few options tend to... You know, it's like in the Premier League, not so much now, but maybe 5 years ago, where if you were panicking, you'd call on Tony Pulis or Sam Allardyce or Mark Hughes to come in and take over. It's that kind of culture of, oh, we don't like outsiders very much.
Yeah.
So when there's no one available within this country, that means there's no one available literally anywhere because nobody looks anywhere else. I mean, even when Sparta appointed Brian Priska from Rosenborg, I think it was.
I think it was.
It was seen as a massive gamble.
Yeah.
Despite the fact he's clearly been successful in European competition and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't know the league, etc. And particularly for a lower mid-table club as Rovka are right now, they're not going to be attracting anyone outside of, you know, for example, I wouldn't mind David Horeš, not just because Jablonec just won, but because he did very well last season, faced a crisis this season, and has managed to tactically build his way out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, in a very long-winded... Sorry I took that one. But yeah, in a very long-winded way, it's those three elements. Friendship with Bartoniek, very, very small number of Czech managers in a very insular-looking league. And the fact that he was an okay stand-in who just fell into it because nobody else could be bothered.
This feeds in, doesn't it, to, I mean, an assertion that many people said at the start of the season, which is whatever happens with Zbrojovka this year... Dostalek's position
he's completely safe.
He's unsackable.
Yeah.
He is unsackable.
Which is a really odd thing to have happen to somebody who, you know, I mean, possibly not, but could get us relegated. I mean,
he did get us relegated.
Yeah. And we are Crystal Palacing our way towards a relegation scrap as well at the moment. So, you know, Will two relegations get you sacked? Probably not.
No, because he knows that league.
Exactly. He knows the league. He took us down there before.
He knows that league, and every single team aside from like two in that league sucks.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. But yeah, it's so one-dimensional in terms of the tactics. I don't think we actually coach it. I think he just sort of gives people their sort of positions.
But the lads are good in training.
The lads are good in training. The training was great. The boys are up for it. I couldn't have asked for more. Ad nauseam, ad infinitum. Like, this is just what happens. And yet you can't... And he does this thing, and I saw this accusation leveled at Robbie Nielsen, who's Hearts manager.
That was a direction I didn't think this conversation was going, but okay.
Hearts are not doing so well at the moment. Well, they're third, but they're just awful, like, to watch, or eye-bleeding. Is that what Robbie Nielsen does is he puts people on in the 70th minute because he thinks he should. And he thinks that's the time for a sub, and there's no real thought process behind it.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't seem, when you have, and I was corrected in the break, listener, Rogojan puts on, you know, comes on. You know, that shows nothing. It shows like, I mean, it was not a like for like sub. He didn't slot in very well, and he did bugger all.
Are we gonna mention that Hearts flag at all?
That could have also been in the Hot or Not.
It could, couldn't it?
The Heart of Midlothian fans took a Union Jack flag to Aberdeen on Saturday that had David Cameron and Boris Johnson on it that said, say no to the SNP, Tory supporters, and the Hearts logo on it.
Yeah. You might as well... Was it Irvin Welsh, the train spotting author?
I don't know what he did, but...
Tweet reply.
Yeah.
That is the most public way of saying, I've never had my hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. Anyway, back to the listeners' questions.
Do we want a couple of observations from this thread?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hello.
Writes that the run of games since Slavia seems like when points needed to be picked up, yet no teams in the bottom six seem to be doing well enough to doom Zbrojovka yet.
Yet being the key word in there.
You know, I've got three syllables that are now striking a little bit of fear into me.
Is it Pardubica?
Pardubica, yeah. Yes. They've got their cage stadium back, and now it's all.
By the way, I am going to go back to just before the Christmas break and call out myself for absolutely predicting this happening.
Yeah,
yeah, because I think before the break they had like 8 points, and I was like, with that new stadium and a run of games, they're going to come good. And oh boy,
was this at the same time that I believe I used the term doomed?
Yep,
love it. It's good to see our natural roles in this podcast are continuing. I've been impressed with Pardubica recently.
Very good, yeah.
And this is a problem. But, you know, it's and teams around them, you know, are going to start picking things up.
It's also a problem that Pardubica is four syllables.
Pardubica. Oh, so it is. I mean, I'm getting everything. I'm getting a player's name wrong long term. I'm getting all sorts of things wrong.
It's all right.
Just on that as well, I mean, the one thing that could keep us up is the terrible decision-making as well of specific players at specific clubs also. Because you may have heard, I think, perhaps the funniest thing that happened is what happened with Filo at Zlín.
I saw the fallout, but I didn't know exactly what happened. This is David Filo?
David Filo, yeah. So David Filo, who was just back, he was back, and it was big derby, of course, at Slovácko and Zlín. And Filo gets himself sent off in the fourth minute, I believe, for the game with, I mean, a leg breaker of a challenge, which is bad enough, right? But that was him being back in the squad after getting a red card for pretty much the same thing before that. So he was suspended, came back in, and then that was it. And that basically shot them in the foot. Zlín aren't that good anyway right now. Lost, I think, 3-0.
Yeah.
Please keep doing this. If you are in a club 14th to 16th in the league, please do this. Also, just a quick shout-out to Roman, who also mentions that towns including Chrudim and Vlašim are also very nice.
Lovely
at this
places
time of
to
year.
Go, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think we'll get relegated, but we're skirting really close to it with the way that we, you know, been performing. If we had just a little bit of tactical nous, I think we'd be
eighth.
Yeah.
But hey, that's the culture of this club from the top down. Just about good enough is more than good enough.
Thanks for your questions. If you would like to add your whines and whims to the podcast, just tweet us or hit us up on Facebook.
Indeed, yes. Let's... we've got one more bit. It's Sparta, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's Sparta. It's Sparta time, baby.
nice, good intro.
Not only are we playing Sparta Prague after this weekend's international break, we're also playing Sparta Prague away.
Lovely.
So I'll be frank with you all. I didn't put that much effort into this preview because it's, I don't want to say insurmountable task, but it feels like an insurmountable task with the way that the team is playing. Especially in the sense that we start off very brightly and we sometimes take a lead and we can't hold on to it.
Yeah, it very much reminds me of that bit from the Office where it's a training day and David Brent talks about his career. I was in a band, yeah. You were in a band, really? What was it called? Foregone Conclusion. This very much smacks of that.
Yes, I mean, did they not open for a little band named Texas?
Little band named Texas, so...
I don't want a lover. I just want at least a point from this game. the problem is as well that we've got this and we've got some other ones coming up, and you start thinking that we're going to need to get a result against Hradec Králové and stuff like that in order to really, you know, after this game we're going to need 4 points from the next two matches. And rather than just go through the way that I normally do, I basically just made 4 bullet points.
You
of
have
things
made 4 bullet points
to take into consideration with the Sparta team. So, Sparta haven't lost this year, first of all. So the first match back was a draw with Sigma, but they haven't lost since, and they have scored plenty of goals along the way. So right now we are yet again coming into a team with momentum. Sparta have the bit between their teeth. It's very close up at the top, and I at this point I actually fancy Sparta to maybe win the league.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is my second basic, well, second and third bullet points. So Jan Kuchta and Tomáš Čvančara are incredibly dangerous gentlemen. So Sparta right now, and the way that they do, like, Sparta are a very fast-paced team with a very sort of flowing team. And they do this 3-4-3 that has Čvančara and Kuchta like as their forwards. And then they have Lukáš Haraslín on the wing. And Haraslín, I believe, was a former Sassuolo player.
Right, yeah.
As well. And I think they got, he was on loan and he came back as like a permanent deal, I think. So the thing about Kuchta, Čvančara and Haraslín is that they're the three in the 3-4-3. And they're also first, second and third on their top scorers list.
Woof.
So that those three players, 27 goals.
Yeah, I can absolutely see Jakub Šural dealing with them.
Yeah.
Next. So
this is this is it. I mean, what a loan signing Kuchta was as well at the start of the season, because they really needed someone, because what's his face went to Bayer Leverkusen for 15 million or so.
Yeah. Plošek.
Yes, Adam Plošek. And they basically got this, they got him on loan from Lokomotiv Moscow, I think almost as a stopgap, and he's been fine. So I think he's got 9 goals, Tranchara's got 12. You know, they look very good. And that squad and that strategy that they're playing is actually coming good. It's like what you were saying earlier on about Priska, that he was sort of a gamble and people were calling for his head at points of this season. And people, I think I saw online, people calling his position untenable and things like that. And now look at how they're going.
Wish our manager's position was untenable.
Yeah, this is it. And also, like, you know, I often have a look at the squad additions and so on during the, you know, the window. And really, there's not so much to say, because significant people have stayed. Not so significant people have sort of gone off on loan or whatever. No one who's really a mainstay of the squad. And yet they have people like Kan Kairinen, I think his name is, who's another one from the Norwegian leagues. He's, I believe, half Finnish, half Turkish. And he's sort of just slotted in at the base of midfield. They've got quite a good, I believe originally Australian, but declared for South Sudan, who's another, who they've got from Cadiz, with, I think, an option to buy. And they're getting, like, 300 minutes or whatever, you know, sort of slotting in last half hour and stuff. And it just keeps things ticking over. And this is what I think, if you're a team of good form, this is what you're doing. You're complementing the existing squad. You're not saying we need an out-and-out sort of someone to come in and compete for the goals, or we need to have a better keeper, you know, as we close out the season. You're complementing the people you already have, and you build, you know, you get people as utility.
Yeah.
I think that's actually what you need to do more in January, because obviously the big stuff's going to happen in the summer. Anyway, 3-0 them.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And then we'll be back in a couple of weeks to hopefully, you know, prep us for what could be the worst, when we're going to desperately need points, I think.
Right, well, that will be about it for this episode, listener. Thank you very much for listening all the way through, if you got this far. Follow us on all the socials, at Sparovcast, on Twitter and Facebook, as usual. Do you have anything to add? Or
If you haven't watched Beethoven or Beethoven's Second...
Yes, of course, yeah.
All I'm saying is it's worth... If you like Dougs...
Right.
Do you like Dags? It's worth your time.
No. Dougs, Dags.
Dags.
Rogojan, Ragojan.
Yeah, this is it. Just to put it then, all this time I'd be calling her Crandall.
I'm an idiot.
And you know where that comes from? So I've been saying Lukáš Rogojan as Lukáš Ragojan for months. And this is, I think, because I often update the Twitter at the football and you're looking at my phone from basically knee high or whatever. The A and the G have gone in together. The O and the G have gone in together. So I think it's an A. And... can I just say, shame on all of you, and that includes people on Twitter who see me spell it like this all the time, for never once correcting me. So who's the real loser here? It's still me. Watch Beethoven.
Bye.